Well, today is May 12th, 2013, and my name is Herman Troyanosky, and I'm in Alexandria, Virginia with Mrs. Poinsettia Galloway Peterson, class of 1966. And we're here to conduct an oral history interview for the African American Institutional Memory Project, which is part of the UNCG Institutional Memory Collection at the University of North Carolina, Greensboro. Mrs. Peterson, thank you so much for meeting with me this beautiful afternoon here in Alexandria.
You're quite welcome. Okay. I'm glad to participate.
Thank you. I'd like to start the interview by asking you something about your childhood, about when and where you were born and that sort of thing.
Okay. I was born in Wilmington, North Carolina, September 27th, 1946. And I lived in Brunswick County. Wilmington is in New Hanover County. Brunswick County is the adjoining county, and that's where I grew up, and even today I go back home because I now own the childhood home. So I go back.
Great. Well, tell me something about your parents and your family and growing up in North Carolina back in the 1950s.
My mother and my father were educators, and my father and my mother graduated from Fayetteville State University, which was then Fayetteville State Teachers College. And I have an older sister, Marion Galloway Mathis, and she attended Johnson C. Smith University. But my childhood was a very good childhood. My parents were involved in the community, involved in the church. They were involved in various educational activities. They were active participants in the Fayetteville State Alumni Association, as well as some of their friends who also went to school with them. So it was a good time. It was a very good time.
And where'd you go to high school?
I went to Leland High School, which is in Leland, North Carolina.
And how do you spell that?
L-I-N-C-O-L-N was the high school. Lincoln, just like Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
The town is Leland, L-E-L-A-N-D.
Okay. Right. And tell me about your favorite subjects while you were in high school.
I think English and math were my favorites. Those were my favorite subjects.
And why did you eventually decide to attend Woman's College, what is now UNCG?
When I initially applied to college, I only applied initially to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I would receive a letter saying they did not accept females in 1963 unless they were nursing or allied health. But I could attend the University of North Carolina, the Woman's College, rather, of the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, and then transfer over my junior year.
And did your parents approve of your choosing Woman's College as opposed to their alma mater, Fayetteville State?
Oh, absolutely. They didn't mind. Whatever university I chose was fine with them. You know, that was fine with them. So actually, that became the only university that I applied to after Chapel Hill. It was that particular university. And I did that. I received an acceptance notice, and that was that. I just didn't apply anywhere else.
Well, tell me about your first days on campus. What was that like? That was in the fall of 63?
The fall of 1963. It was very exciting. When I first arrived on campus, I thought it was a quaint campus. And now, what I did unusual, which was unusual to students today, I hadn't visited the university. I went sight unseen. You know, students today visit, they walk around. It was sight unseen. We drove through the campus, and I thought, wow, this is a nice, quaint campus. And my dormitory, of course, was Coed Hall, and that was the dormitory where all African Americans where we lived. And as a matter of fact, there were 10 at that time. There were 10 African American girls. We were all on the first hall of Coed Hall, and we met each other that day, and we met other young ladies too, Caucasian ladies, and we all just had a good time talking and sharing experiences. And Actually, most of my first days, I guess, were spent really learning the university, how to get around, mm-hmm. although it was not that large when you think about it, but going to your classroom, going to the dining hall, mm-hmm. what's near here, of course, the Yum Yum, the movie theater, where the other universities are, Bennett College and A&T, and just getting to know Greensboro in general as well, too. So also trying to acclimate to classes, because some of the classes were large, mm-hmm. like the science, we had lecture in a big lecture hall, mm-hmm. then we had the labs, which were smaller, and so getting accustomed to the larger classes and to the culture and climate of the university and the professors, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. just generally right. learning about mm-hmm. the college.
Now, you said there were 10 African-American students. Were they all freshmen?
They were all freshmen. No. Oh, I'm sorry. There were 10 in my class, when I entered in 1963. Yes, there were 10.
In the freshman class.
What happened was there was one young lady who lived off campus, however, and we didn't really get to see her. I didn't really meet her, but she lived off campus, and then at the end of the first semester, there was another African-American who's Irene. She came, mm-hmm. and she did live on campus in Coed, mm-hmm. which made the number of African-Americans in Coed Hall 11. Mm-hmm. We went from 10 to mm-hmm. 11.
So there were two per room, I guess.
Two per room. Mm-hmm. There were two per room. Right. And on my side, there were six. When Irene came, there were seven. On the other side of Coed Hall, there were four African-Americans. Mm-hmm. And we all just bonded. Mm-hmm. Because what we had in common were the fact that we were among, mm-hmm. you know, the first African-Americans there. Mm-hmm. And another thing that was very interesting as we talked among ourselves, what we discovered is that each of us was probably the valedictorian or the salutatorian of our classes. Mm-hmm. We were really top students from our high schools. Mm-hmm. They were segregated high schools, but that notwithstanding, most of us were valedictorians of our classes, right. or salutatorians.
I can't remember. Was the SAT?
The SAT
was that in existence?
That was in existence mm-hmm. then, and we mm-hmm. did have to take the SATs right. as well. So most of us did come with top grades.
Right.
Top
grades. Women's College had a wonderful national reputation in those mm-hmm. days. Mm-hmm. And of course, once it became coeducational, that sort of.
Yeah, it sort of fizzled, right.
That's a good word, right.
Yeah,
and
right.
so you were right there at the end.
Yes.
Because 1963 was the last year that there was a women's college graduation. It was just, that was 50 years ago, just a few weeks ago.
That's right.
And so you were there during the transition from an all-women's to a co-educational institution. But I've talked to other ladies, you know, who were there in the 60s, and they said there really weren't that many men on mm-hmm. campus. And so it still held some of those women's college traditions and values that were mm-hmm. sort of lost by the 70s. Is that a true statement?
I think in a way. Mm-hmm. I remember very vividly when it became coeducational mm-hmm. in 1964.
Right.
Because there were only two guys in that first class mm-hmm. That we met. And the irony is that one had my last name, a Galloway. He was a Galloway. And I met him. He was a Galloway. I was a Galloway.
He
was white. He was Caucasian. He was not black.
Okay.
He was not African-American, but he was also a Galloway. And I said, wow, you know, and there were only two guys. So everyone said, oh, we have guys on campus. Oh, guys on campus. So those two guys, you know, did come on campus and everything. But it's another thing that happened because I didn't really, I can't really say that I really understand, really can say the impact of the guys mm-hmm. there, because I mean a couple were in my classes. I think one of them was, well, as a matter of fact, I think the two were in some class. I had a class with at least a guy after that mm-hmm. in 64 on, but I couldn't really see much of a difference mm-hmm. of the
right.
mm-hmm. difference they really made on
right.
campus.
I think there were like 280 some, maybe they were accepted in the fall of 82. So, and mm-hmm. some of them, of course, were day students.
Okay.
And because there really wasn't a mm-hmm. good place for them to live for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that. I'm fairly sure, you know, thank you very much. There were only two mm-hmm. initially. Mm-hmm. Galloway was one, and then another young man. And see, another thing that happened with me was that I was the youngest girl in our class, because mm-hmm. when I entered college, I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated at 19 because I went to Chapel Hill to for those summers to make sure I had the courses. See, what happened after the summer of 64, I said, okay, I made up my mind. I said, I think I'm a finish early. And I couldn't get a job at home. I mean, there were very little jobs for people 17 years old where I was from. Mm-hmm. So what was my option? Oh, go to college and finish early. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. I went to Chapel Hill in the summer of 64. I took 12 hours of coursework there. Then I came back to the university, of course, for my sophomore year. And then what happened that next summer after my what would have been my sophomore year, I stayed there. I didn't go to Chapel Hill mm-hmm. because I knew I was very astute at reading the bulletin, and so many of your last classes had to be on campus. Mm-hmm. I think it was 30 hours, mm-hmm. something like that. So I had to really schedule my time at Carolina and my time in Greensboro mm-hmm. so I wouldn't get caught up in the fact that I didn't have the requisite number of hours mm-hmm. that were required there. And so actually that's where I met my husband at Chapel Hill. We're still married today. I met him in 1964 at Carolina. Uh-huh. And so that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And so I guess because of my eagerness to finish and everything, then my mind was really set on finishing. Mm-hmm.
I forgot, what is your degree?
My degree is in sociology. Mm-hmm. But I had parents who were educators, and they would say to my sister and me, always try to get a teacher certificate so you can get a job. This is the 60s, you know, you can get a job teaching. So therefore, what I did, I took the requisite social studies courses mm-hmm. I needed to get a teaching certificate in social studies, mm-hmm. which is what I ended up doing. I was a BA in sociology, of mm-hmm. course, but I also took those courses, and I did my student teaching at Dunbar High School, mm-hmm. right there in Greensboro. So I did that as well, too. I did student teaching.
I'm not familiar with Dunbar High School. Where is that?
I'm not even sure if it even exists anymore. Maybe it does. I'm trying to think where it was located.
Because Dudley was the...
Not Dudley. It was Dudley.
Dudley, okay.
Dudley. I'm thinking D.C. Thank you for saying that. It was Dudley. Thank you. Right. Absolutely. I missed the quote. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. It was Dudley. That's okay. Right. Dudley High School. That's why I gave my student teacher. I did it there. Right. And so, therefore, although my major was in sociology, mm-hmm. you know, I did that, you know, at Dudley.
Mm-hmm. Right. And how was that experience?
It was very interesting. I enjoyed it. I had a taskmaster. I mean, my supervisor there was a taskmaster. She wanted written lesson plans for every day, even with what you would probably say to the students or questions that you were asked and everything. So I worked very diligently in for student teaching and was well respected mm-hmm. among the staff there, because it's one thing I discovered in going to Woman's College is that there was a lot of respect for the girls who were there, because the perception was that you were smart, mm-hmm. you were intelligent. If not, you wouldn't have been accepted at that university. So it garnered up within itself just the fact that we attended UNCG. I think we had the respect mm-hmm. among other people. So it was a good experience.
Right. Well, let me ask you, backtrack just a little bit. How was your transition from high school to college? I mean, you were so young.
Yeah, I was young, but everything worked out fairly well. My freshman year, I was not enamored with my grades. I thought I just did poorly, and I did. But also because I was a little social butterfly. I was young, but I was everybody's friend. And that's what happened with me. I mean, I have to be honest. I liked everybody. I would go to everybody's dorms and talk to them, and not just the girls in my class, but the upperclassmen. I mean, I would go and talk with the seniors, who were seniors there, and the juniors, and the sophomores, and I was everybody's friend, and I loved to play Midwest.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, love to play Big West. I would play Big West, and someone say, hey, you want to go down to the Yum Yum for onion dog? Oh, yeah, I'll go. You know, so I said, wow. So I got those first grades back, and I went, okay, this is not good at all. So then I buckled down, and I knew, I mean, I was still a little social butterfly, but I knew I had to put more time into the books. And then another thing that happened, too, there was, I think, with some of us, it's easy for other people to tell you what you can or cannot do. There were a couple of girls in that sophomore class who said, man, if you just get a C or a D in science or history, you're doing good. You're doing real good. So they had a tendency to almost make you think that average was okay, you know, because, but then you begin thinking, no, it really isn't. You got to be better than that. But the transition was not very, I didn't think it was very, was not very difficult.
Mm-mm. Well, tell me something about the courses you took and what were your favorite courses?
My favorite were really my major courses. Mm-hmm. And see, I started my major so early. Mm-hmm. Like my sophomore, what would have been my sophomore year? Because I only had 3 full years there. I started my major courses there. So they were my favorite courses, my sociology courses, absolutely. Because everything else was liberal arts. I mean, everything, because it's a liberal arts school.
Sure.
So, you know, you had your math and your foreign language and your sciences, and they were just okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to do it to do it, to graduate. But I think once I began to dig and delve into sociology and anthropology, they became really my favorite courses.
How did you become interested in anthropology and sociology?
The times. It was like, to me, it's all about social. It's all about the political protests of the time. Mm-hmm. It was a time to become involved in social issues.
Right.
It was a time that's the major that you can have a voice in change and understanding social groups and norms and mores and folkways. Mm-hmm. And so I just said, that's what I want to do. Because there weren't a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can major in math, and math was, I mean, I enjoyed math in high school. It really was my forte that much in college. I said, no, I don't want to do this. Science, no, I don't think I really want to do that. English, no, not really. So there weren't the choices that students have today. And when I looked at the choices, that was the best choice for me. That's what I chose.
Right. Well, now, you came in the fall of 63.
Fall of 63. Mm-hmm.
President Kennedy was killed in that November. How did that you recall anything about that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I heard about it on my way from class. Some girls were saying, oh my gosh, President Kennedy has been assassinated. And I remember running to Court Hall and seeing a couple of my friends with us. Oh my gosh, President Kennedy has been assassinated. And we all gathered in a room and we mourned and we just lamented his death. And then everybody gravitated to the parlor. We had what was called the parlor. Mm-hmm. And that's where we stayed the rest of the day, the rest of the night. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were glued to the parlor, to the TV in the parlor.
Because that was the only TV probably.
That was the only TV in the place. We didn't have TVs. We didn't have, you know, that technology. So we were all glued to the parlor to see.
Right.
And it was like, okay, what's going to happen now? Because we also felt that he was a president who was for integration. And to that end, we said, oh my gosh, you know, are we going to move back into what's going to happen? Are this country going to go forward or what? So it was a very sad time for us, for all of us. And I didn't feel that the sadness was, it was general sadness among everybody there. We all lamented the fact that our president had been assassinated.
Right. And unfortunately, it was just sort of forewarning of what was to come later on, but assassination of Martin Luther King and then his President Kennedy's brother
died,
and so on and so forth.
Yeah, the 60s. I mean, that was it. It was just a turbulent time. Mm-hmm. It was really a turbulent time. And even after I graduated from UNCG and I taught social studies at Nakana High School, and at that time I was the only African American teacher at that school. They had just integrated because the rule had just come down. You know, we have to integrate the schools in North Carolina. So there were maybe 20, 25 African American students there. And it was during that time, of course, that Martin Luther King was assassinated in 68. And then, you know, of course, Bobby Kennedy. So it was just a really tumultuous time for us there. You know, it really was. It really was that. But we did. We were able to move through it and work through it. But it was difficult. Yeah.
Now, you've already told me where you lived on campus. So tell me something about dorm life. What was that like for you?
It was a fun time. We loved to play Big Whist.
Did you ever learn how to play bridge?
I never learned to play bridge. Never. Never. Mm-mm. It was always, I was always playing the Big Whist. We would gather in the parlor for social activities, ice cream parlors, and just to be together with each other. And then we had a couple girls in the class who were excellent vocalists. Mm. And we would love to, and then there were two who were excellent music, were pianists. So they would play the piano, we would listen to them sing. And we would just talk about boys, guys, talk about, I guess, our social life, academics to an extent, some of the professors to an extent. But we made it happen. We made the enjoyment of each day happen, you know, by just sharing among ourselves, right. I guess, at good times.
And what about the rules and regulations? What do you recall about them?
My freshman year, that was a time when they wanted to make sure you studied. So they had lights out. Mm-hmm. I think lights out was probably around 7 o'clock. Where they had lights out, 7 or 8, I'm trying to remember the exact time, and they had what they called study hall, quiet study, and you were supposed to be in your room studying at that time. Every other activity was supposed to come to an end, supposed to be in the room studying. So we did that. But the university was liberal with the times we could stay out, because I think it was midnight. You could go on a date and not have to be in, I'm fairly sure, on the weekends. And this is weekends, not weekdays. Right. But the weekend, I'm fairly sure it was like 12 o'clock. It was midnight, where in some of the other schools in the area, the girls didn't have that type of liberal time. And I know I had a friend there at UNCG whose sister was at Bennett, and it was nothing like that, you know. But the rules, that was basically, you know, that's what I remember about that. And they did try to stress. But they also had students who were on what did they call that? They were on the committee. If you committed a violation of the rules, then you had to meet with the students, the girls.
Is that the judicial board?
It may have been the judicial board, but it seemed like it was something else. Yeah, the judicial board. You had to meet with them. At all. And also, yeah, no cheating, absolutely. You know, that was, you didn't even think about cheating. Yes. I mean, because there was no cheating. There was no cheating,
right.
Plagiarism, all of that, you know, that just was not something that was expected and everything.
About your roommates, what do you recall about them?
Now, my freshman roommate was a very nice young lady from Kinston, North Carolina. She was just a wonderful young lady. She'd gone to a private school, private Catholic school, and very astute, very studious my freshman year. And then I changed roommates that year because I had moved there was a young lady that transferred from Shaw University in January of 64. And she was she was older than I. She was a junior, but we became very good friends. Mm-hmm. So we roomed together. And so we did room together, and that was in Strong Hall. I moved from Port to Strong. And then she and I continued to be roommates. What was my last year and her last year as well. We moved to Mary Faust dormitory, and then we had a three-girl room, a girl named Jean, Margaret, and I. And we roomed together, but they were all very studious, very nice young ladies. And we're in contact to this day. I'm not in contact with my freshman roommate that much. She and I really haven't been in contact that much. But the others, absolutely. Jane and Margaret, we send each other's birthday cards.
What are Jane and Margaret's last names?
Oh, it was Jane Luther. Margaret Pope. And Jane lives here in Maryland. She lives in College Park, Maryland. Margaret Pope went back home to Birmingham, Alabama, where she was from. So she lives there. And my freshman roommate was Cheryl White. Her last name was White, from Kinston. And I'm not sure where she's. I think she moved to New York, but I'm just not. She sort of dropped out in terms of anyone really being in contact with Cheryl.
Did all these ladies graduate?
Yes,
as far as you know?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Yes.
So hopefully they're on our list.
Yeah, they're on your list. Yeah, they graduated.
Okay,
Jane is a lawyer here. She's an attorney, and Margaret Pope is a retired librarian in Birmingham. Yeah, so they graduated. All of them did graduate from college.
What about the dining hall? What do you have recollections of dining hall food and good times in the dining halls? Or
it wasn't bad. The food was okay. It was edible. it was okay. It's fattening. Because I think I was sort of got that freshman 15. I think, even though we were calling it that then, but I think we sort of gained weight because you eat all you want, sort of all you wanted to eat, you know. So it was edible. And one thing that happened, and I think among the African-American students, there was a tendency to want to sit together. Say, okay, let's all sit together.
In the dining hall.
Right. And let's talk about our day. And a lot of the African-American students would sit together and eat together. There were a few who sat in a way they wished, but that was a tendency because there weren't many. There weren't many African-Americans there. And so we would do that. That became a social hour to talk and just to reminisce what was going on and share. Okay, I haven't seen you. What's going on? You know, who are you dating or how are things going in class?
We're talking about social activities. I've talked to several other ladies and they said, you know, the social activities were rather limited at Women's College and UNCG because there were no African-American men. And so they had to go to A&T and there was sometimes a little bit of jealousy from the ladies at Bennett College. Did you run into that while you were there?
Not really, because I participated in like the Elliott Hall Ball. They had the Elliott Hall Ball at UNCG, and I always had a date for that. I went to that. I did go to a couple of the ROTC balls at A&T. I did do that, but I didn't sense any jealousy among the girls, you know, from Bennett or A&T, anything like that. And then there were opportunities. Well, we did things off campus. I guess you're talking about the school. But then off campus, I mean, the guy was dating and I, we would go to the movies off campus. And then at the school itself, the Performing Arts Society, there was always something going on there. I would attend that, you know, go to those.
A lot of concerts and lectures
and dance troupes. And then we had the swimming team. I would always go to their performance. And what were they called? The Dolphins? What were they called?
That sounds right.
It was a Dolphin, something like that. And they were very good. They did synchronized swimming. And they were excellent. And then we had the concerts at Christmas time. And one of my girl in my class, Suzette Brown Rooney, who you've already she's an excellent vocalist, and she always sang in the choir. She participated in the choir, so she had a wonderful voice, and we always said, oh yes, Suzette, you did a great job tonight, you know, you sang very nice tonight. So do that. But there were a lot of social activities. Which ones were there? What they did have? I would participate in them. I remember when the Beatles were on TV for the first time, and they did a big thing in Elliott Hall with the TVs, and everybody going over to Elliott Hall to see the Beatles sing on TV.
That must have been on the Ed Sullivan Show.
May have been just that. But you remember that. And they were limited, but. But I think you make the most of it. And I didn't feel that limited because I was always doing something on the weekend. I mean, I was always at the movies, or like my boyfriend, we would go down to the hot shops or to Tony's Pizza for pizza. and what have you, and then his parents lived in that area, so I would go to church with them on mm-hmm. Sundays. So I
sound like so, you were very busy.
I was busy. Mm-hmm. I was busy. It was okay with me. You know, that was okay.
Right. Were you able to get involved with any kind of extracurricular activities on campus, like you mentioned mm-hmm. swimming earlier, or maybe physical education, intramural physical education, or anything like that?
No, I really didn't participate in any extracurricular activities.
No theater, dance?
No, I really didn't. Any extracurricular activities I didn't participate in. The only thing I did that I don't know how extracurricular it was, but I did help one of the professors, who's Dr. I think he may have been Mr., because I think he's working on his dissertation. I helped him with his research. He had me to help him with the data collection, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and that was the biggest thing I got involved in. Mm-hmm. You know, I helped him.
Was that a paid job?
I'm trying to think. Did he pay me for that? He may have. He probably did. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But then with another professor, I babysat his child all the time. I guess I don't know how extra could relate. His name was Fred Chapel.
What?
Fred. Uh-huh. His had a son named Keith. His son was Keith Chapel. And that was a paid job. He would pay me for that. Because he and his wife would go out, I used to babysit his son Keith all the time.
Well, he's quite famous, you know.
Yeah, he was the poet laureate.
Poet laureate of North Carolina, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. has written tons of books and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So his son was Keith, and I would babysit for him. And but in terms of the other activities there, no, I really didn't participate. Mm-hmm. And it was something that really appealed to me to mm-hmm. participate in. I didn't really swim that well. I mean, I could swim. I didn't sing. I didn't really dance. You know, and there was nothing really and it was all about, you know, getting that degree and going out with your boyfriend every weekend.
And you did it in 3 years, which is
and I did it in 3 years,
which is remarkable.
Mm-hmm. I did it in 3 years. Yeah, I graduated when I started teaching. I was 19. The superintendent, the principal of the school, even asked the superintendent, "Is she too young? Can I hire her? I really want to hire this lady." He said, "Well, does she have a certificate from North Carolina? I had what they called the A certificate." You know, he said, "Yeah, she has a teacher certificate. She has an A certificate." He said, "We have to hire. She's just young, you know." But yeah,
what do you recall about the campus traditions like Rat Day and Jacket Day and Ring Day and things like that?
Jacket Day, I remember that vividly. Well, putting on that jacket. Mm-hmm. Walking down the aisles was Burgundy, and walking across campus, that was very vivid. I remember that. It was a good tradition. I didn't participate in, I can't remember Rat Day, what that was even all about.
That was sort of a hazing process mm-hmm. Involving the sophomores mm-hmm. and this freshman, incoming freshmen.
Oh,
the incoming freshmen, they wear little rat ears and do all kinds of silly things.
Okay.
On behest of the sophomores, yeah.
No, I can't remember that. Mm-hmm. That I can't remember doing, being really participating mm-hmm. in that. Right. And Ring Day, I'm trying to remember. Did I get? I'm pretty sure. Was it black? Was it the black onyx?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I did get the ring, and I'm trying to remember what was significant about that. Was it just the fact we got our rings, or did we do something with them? Did we show them? I can't really remember. Mm-hmm. The Jacket Day, that's the
right,
one.
Right.
Yeah, the other one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. Well, what was the political atmosphere like on campus in the 1960s? Now, the Greensboro sit-ins that were with it taking mm-hmm. place prior to you coming there.
Yes.
And, of course, there were protests a little bit later on in the late 60s, so you might have been right in between. But I think there were some protests on Tate Street in 1963, but that might have been before you got there. They were trying to integrate places like the corner and the other
the
restaurants,
Apple House, problem.
Apple House mm-hmm. and places like that on Tate Street, mm-hmm. and that might have taken place in the spring of '62. I can't remember right now.
I think it did because when we arrived, supposedly those places were integrated.
Right.
I did have an experience of going to the Apple House one night with a friend of mine who was Caucasian, and the waitress said, "Oh, I'm going to serve her." And that was me. Mm-hmm. And the young lady said, "What?" And so we walked out, And she said, we're going to tell Chancellor Singletary about this.
Right.
And I remember she and I went to talk with Chancellor Singletary, and he said, well, all of my students are to be served. And I think he told me, you serve all of my students down at the Apple House. So that was the only blatant discrimination I had on the corner in that in the university. Mm-hmm. But then I went back other times, and there was no issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember that particular particular waitress. But and you're right, it was a little quieter because the sit-ins had happened at A&T, and there weren't any protests that I can recall during my 3 years there. There were no, I can't remember any sit-ins. Mm-hmm. There was no protesting downtown. Mm-hmm. Not during, I can't recall any. Mm-hmm.
Kind of a lull period in between.
It was a little lull, absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. You spoke about Chancellor Singletary a minute ago, so you actually met him.
Yeah, it was with, and I can't remember the young lady's name. It must have been the fall of 63, and she was sort of an activist, and we became friendly, and she said, well, we're going to go and talk with Chancellor Singletary. Some kind of way she got us an audience with Chancellor Singletary, and she was reiterating this, what happened actually at the Apple. I'm sure it was Singletary. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, was it Ferguson or Singletary? But I just remember going with her to the office. Mm-hmm. And I think it was I'm fairly sure it was Singletary.
Probably was, because I think Ferguson had come a little bit later than that.
Yes, I'm pretty sure it was Singletary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was he.
Because there were so many changes there, because Singletary left after a fairly short period of time, went on to start the Job Corps here in Washington, D.C. or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chancellor Ferguson came in after him.
Came after that.
Yeah, so, yeah. And I've had one of the questions, I said, what do you remember about Chancellor Singletary and Ferguson?
It was Singletary.
But do you have any recollection about Vice Chancellor Merib Mossman?
I remember her, I think, at maybe one of the assemblies or something in the auditorium, but never any direct contact with her. I don't.
And how about Dean of Students, Catherine Taylor?
No, I just know the name, but never direct contact with Catherine Taylor.
Mm-hmm. And how about Alumni Secretary Barbara Parrish?
No. I can't recall conversation with them.
Well, tell me something about your teachers. And you mentioned a couple already. Did you have Fred Chappell as an instructor?
I had. That's how we met.
Okay.
He was my English teacher. I always liked him because he was so laid back and so different. I just liked him. He was like, everyone else with the suit and tie, and he was, he was very casually dressed. I liked him very much. I liked his style of teaching. He was very interesting. And the other teachers that I remember were, well, of course, Mr. Knox, who I mentioned doing some. It was like running numbers on a computer for him. Whatever I did was like, it was a computer, it was calculator, maybe it was a calculator. Mm-hmm. But whatever, I remember running the numbers for him. And he was my sociology professor. Mm-hmm. And then Mr. Allen and Harriet Cuffer. I can't remember, I think it was, what was Knox's first name? Was it Richard Knox? But Knox, Allen, Cuffer.
How do you spell
Chappell? Cuffer was K-U-P, I think, F-E-R-E-R. Cuffer. They were all sociology. These were all three sociology people in the sociology department. Allen, Knox, Cuffer.
Mm-hmm.
Chappell, English.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones I really sort of really remember.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had one professor, and the only time I experienced what I considered was, I wouldn't say blatant discrimination, or someone, a professor who was not really, what can I say? I'm trying to think of the best word to use, but I was in a health class, and we were talking about venereal diseases, and I was the only African-American in that class, well, in all of my classes. I didn't even have another African-American in my class until my last year of college. I was the only one in all of my classes. And so in this particular class, we were talking about venereal diseases, and she said, now, venereal diseases, Now, you know, they are carried by your Negroes. And that's just what she said in class. She said, they are carried by your Negroes. And you learn to keep a poker face. I didn't say anything. I didn't raise my hand. I just sat there. And you know, taking the notes and just look, and then some other girls turn around and look. You know, they were look. I could see how you take that comment. But she looked at me. I remember that she looked at me, and she looked at me. She didn't stay that long, but she did look at me, and I said, "Oh, okay." But that's something I always remember.
Was her name White by any chance?
No, that was McCain.
McCain.
Her name was McCain. C-C-A-I-N. It was Dr. McCain. Mm-hmm. Wow. And it's carried by your Negroes. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was McCain.
And of course, you probably didn't say anything. You were just.
Oh, no, didn't say anything. And then and I never really had the need to really say anything for some reason. Although kids today would say, oh, I wouldn't anybody to say that to me. I wouldn't say something, but I didn't say anything. I didn't raise and say, no, that's not true. And whatever, but even the way she said it wasn't color, it wasn't Negro, it was Negroes. And it was the way that was what she grew up with. I'm sure it was Miss McCain, health teacher, yeah? I know she's in glory now because she was older then. So she was this representative, you know, of her time.
Did you ever have Randall Jarrell for any of your classes? He was a very famous poet.
Yes, he was. No, I didn't. Didn't have them. But he was. I remember Randall Jarrell.
So you were familiar with him?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm familiar with him. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But not didn't have it for that. But I definitely remember Randall Jarrell.
How about Richard Burdoff in history?
Didn't have Richard, but he was notorious. We knew that name. He was one we definitely know the name, didn't have him.
I've heard some negative things about him. That some people said other African-American students said they try to avoid his class because he was not always fair, and I've heard other people say just the opposite, so.
But I never had him, but I remember.
Him,
I remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I remember him.
I think you said that your favorite teacher was probably Fred Chappell.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, of course, Knox and Allen were close ties, but Fred Chappell, I'm about to say he was my favorite. And I guess because I got to know him, too, as a babysitter for him, and he was just always so genuine to me. I mean, to me, he was someone who, to me, he didn't see race, he didn't see ethnicity, he saw people. You know, he just saw you as a person, and he was just a nice, nice, gentle soul, you know.
Have you read any of his material since?
You know, I have not. I know he became poet laureate at of North Carolina, but I really haven't read a lot of his material.
I haven't either.
But I'm saying he's quite a prolific writer. Yeah, quite prolific.
I think he helped start the Master of Fine Arts, you know, the creative writing.
Okay, Because
that's a very well-known program.
So. Yeah, okay, yes. And there's some students from UNCG, in the paper, they designed, decorated this home here in Washington area. Oh. Yeah, they talked about the winning team was from University of North Carolina, Greensboro. I read in the real estate section. I said, go on, UNCG.
Well, after you graduated from UNCG, you said you taught. How long did you teach?
Actually, I taught 2 years in North Carolina, high school teacher at Nakata High School. And during my tenure there, I was the only African-American teacher at that school.
And where is that?
And that's in Columbus County, North Carolina. Then I married my college sweetheart in 1968. We moved to the Washington area, to this area, and I taught elementary school. I did not have a license to teach in elementary school, but I taught elementary school from 1968 to 1974. And then in 1974 through 1985, I taught special education. I was a special education teacher.
All here in D.C.
Oh, this is D.C. Public Schools. Mm-hmm. So for those 2 years in mm-hmm. North Carolina. Uh-huh. So I was a special education teacher. Mm-hmm. And then in 1985, until I retired from D.C. Public Schools in 1988, I became a school officer. And I did administrative. I was in administration. Mm-hmm. I was a program monitor, special ed, mm-hmm. staff development coordinator for the system, coordinator of credentialing. Mm-hmm. So I did mostly administrative things there. But I also, during that time in D.C. Public School, I also began working as an adjunct instructor at three universities here in the area. Oh. So I worked at Trinity University, George Mason University. That was in collaboration with a program in D.C. Public Schools, training bilingual special ed teachers, and then at UDC. So actually, I began working as an adjunct in 1986, mm-hmm. 1986. And I really did that until I retired from D.C. in 1988. Then after I retired from D.C., I went to work at Trinity College full-time. And so I worked at Trinity College as their director of special education. And I worked as the assistant dean of the School of Education. Mm-hmm. So I worked there. And then after I left Trinity College, I now work with the Maryland State Department of Education with their juvenile with what they call juvenile services education. Mm-hmm. So now I'm employed with them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still working. I'm retired but rehired again.
Can't keep a good person down, as they say.
Oh, my God.
Well, which job did you enjoy the most?
Well, all of them were just, each of them had their own successes. Mm-hmm. I enjoy teaching. I love working with youth. I love working with children. And I guess it's like I've come full circle because I'm doing that again. So I love working with children. So to that end, I missed that when I was in administration, when mm-hmm. I was not working with them. But then in administration, I learned a lot about the workings of a system. I had operated and worked and all of that. And the same thing at the university, I learned a lot about how universities operate. Mm-hmm. And that was very enlightening as well. Mm-hmm. So I can't say I like one better than the other. They were equally challenging. And I guess I just liked it. At that point in my life, I liked what I was doing. Mm-hmm. You know, right. All right, this is bad. I got to leave this for that. No, at each point, I enjoyed the moment. Let's put it that way. At each point in my life, I just said, enjoy this time mm-hmm. of your life. If it must be done, it must be fun. That was my mantra. So make it fun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, have you been involved with UCG since you graduated?
I'm a life member mm-hmm. of the Alumni Association. Okay. I did that several years ago. I've been a life member for a long time. I'm a life member. I have a brick on the graduate wall that will walk down by in the little park. Mm-hmm. You know, the
Faust Park.
Yeah, I have a brick there. I went to see it this last, not too long ago. I saw my little brick. I have participated, or have attended, should I say, several activities in this area. Mm-hmm.
Right.
They off and on throughout the years.
Right. I think the chancellor was up
in McLean.
About April. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you be able to participate?
I met her, yet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she was here again in April.
Right, okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
She was at a family's home in McLean, Virginia.
Okay.
I did get the invitation, but I was unable. It was 6 o'clock where I worked. There's no way anywhere I could get across the beltway to McLean, Virginia at 6 o'clock.
Gosh.
I just knew I couldn't do that. And I could have taken leave or something. I said no. And it was just a busy time. But I understand it was very nice. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend emailed me who mm-hmm. went. Mm-hmm. That was very nice. Mm-hmm. But she was here about this time last year at Fort DuPont. I mean, at DuPont Circle Hotel.
Right.
And Linda was there with her.
Right.
And Kelvin was there. Kevin Williamson mm-hmm. was there. That was a very enjoyable tea. Mm-hmm. It was very nice, wine and cheese. Mm-hmm. And then she came again at Suzette's house. Suzette mm-hmm. had
right.
a gathering at her house, so we were there for that. Mm-hmm. And so I've attended various functions mm-hmm. Here in this area. And then several of us went back for our 25th reunion. Mm-hmm. See, although I graduated in 66, everyone has me down with the class of 66, my allegiance is to the class of 67.
Right.
That's the class I started. But of course, I'm in the class of 66. So what would have been the 25th reunion for the class of 67? Half, 50% of the class, of the African-American girls, went down.
Mm-hmm.
We participated in that activity, which was wonderful.
So you have a big 50th coming up in a couple of years.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe it. I'm just so excited. And I have my 50th high school reunion this month. In 2 weeks, I'm going down to Leland, North Carolina for that high school. So I'm really excited about that. But then we went down for that 25th reunion. Mm-hmm. We did that. And I've been back to campus a couple times. I was here in October, actually. Mm. I went on campus. I had my husband and I were really at Chapel Hill. Was doing their weekend at Chapel Hill. Alumni weekend, homecoming. Mm-hmm. And so we drove to Greensburg for a day, and I walked around campus, met some of the students, went in Coit Hall to see how it was renovated.
They did a fantastic job.
Wonderful.
Unbelievable.
They did a great job there. So I went to Coit, and of course, went to see my little brick on the graduate. I said, let me walk to this. Let me see this. I've never seen it. They sent me a picture of it, but I never seen the actual walk. Mm-hmm. So I walked there and went in the new, I guess, student center. So, and of course, I'm really involved in terms of the young ladies who were there, because we have all become best friends. Although we were there, particularly in the class of 1967. We see each other all the time. So that really, I guess, is a part of their involvement. I mean, two of the girls are my children's godmother. Jean Luther is my oldest daughter's godmother. Willeen Carr is my youngest daughter's godmother. I'm godmother to Emma Bell's daughter, Wanda. And so all of us have kept in contact with each other. Sarah, that's why I said Sarah's not there, but she was... I mean, I've been in contact with her throughout the years. When she was president of the Deltas in Delaware, and wherever she is, she invited my husband and me to all of her activities up there. I visited with her. Jackie Sparkman, I'm in contact with Jackie, and Jackie had a home on Cape May, and we would go and visit Cape May. And with Jackie, Suzette went to her son's wedding, you know, and... I go to her church periodically, you know, to Suzette's church right here in Maryland. Ruth belongs here to Afro Street because she met the church through me, but now she's a member here. So, I guess aware of it because I was here. But Ruth, so I'm in real in contact because of the friendships that were established at UNCG, and not just the girls in that class of 67, but even some of the young ladies, and there weren't that many who were in the classes above. I mean, when Francine McAdoo was in Chicago, I visited with Francine. She was director of the Chamber of Commerce at that time. And I mean, she and I visited with each other. Sinema Jempsey Reed, I've been in contact with her and visited her home, and we've had gatherings at Sina's home. And so Emma Bell, you know, as I said, we're still good friends and we see each other often. So I've gained lifelong friendships from being at UNCG.
Right, and that's wonderful.
Uh-huh.
It really is wonderful.
We have maintained that those friendships. I'm in contact, there's no one, I've been in contact with every girl in the class of 6th and 7th. And at Margaret Pope, like I said, in Birmingham, I visited her in Birmingham. Her birthday is this month, as a matter of fact, May 20th. And I have pictures of her with my children and her children. So I've kept in contact with a lot of them. Like I said, I was like the little social butterfly. I was always a friendly person. I got that from my parents. And so they would always say, well, Poinsettia, you're the one that keep us together, because we know where people, we want to find out where somebody is, we'll ask you, where are they? You tell us.
Oh, my gosh. Well, what do you want people to know about your time at Women's College, UNCG?
It was a good experience for me. I mean, there were times, as I mentioned, a little help teaching what she said. But overall, when I think about my experience, I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. I felt the education was an excellent education at UNCG. It was an excellent education.
Do you think it opened some doors for you?
It did, in a way. You know what? I think it had, let me tell my doors. Tell you what happened, too, when I was a student there. Tell my doors. I went downtown in Greensboro my freshman year, and I wanted, there were two stores, but three of them. I can't remember the other one. I'm definitely Tollheimer's. Mm-hmm. I was told they're Prego guys. And at that time, I would, because I was dated, I'd have to get nice little things to wear, nice little outfits. And I asked for a credit card, a credit account. Wasn't a credit card then, it must have been just a charge account at the store.
Right.
So I told him I wanted a, and I was young. I was only like 17, 18. And I told him, I said, yeah, I go to you in Women's College. And the manager was, we were going to give you one then. I don't know if I would have gotten it if I had not been a student. If I was a student, I'm not sure. I can't say, but if I were a student at A&T or Bennett, I'm not too sure. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that I was a student at Women's College, and I was, you know, black, he probably said, well, you know, black kids got to be smart to go to Women's College. I got charge accounts.
It's amazing at age 17.
I got charge accounts. And what happened when I got married, what happened later when I got married, they put them in my husband's name. I never forget that. Some kind of way, I told him I was a Peterson then, and I think they came to my husband, but I sure did. I had charge accounts at Tollheimer's, Prego Guys, and there was another store. I can't remember that.
See, there was a Belk's downtown.
Mm-hmm. It was a bad, I didn't have one at Belk's.
Mentaldo's, which was a very expensive.
Big store, yeah, Mentaldo's. I'm not sure it was, but see, there was another one, but definitely Tollheimer's or Prego Guys. Those two I remember. And then another thing that happened, too, when I went to Trinity College, there's a blurb I still have at home in the Alumni Magazine when they announce how they announce who's coming on board at the university. And the blurb stated, and she's a graduate of a woman's college at that. Because, see, the female, the college, the undergrad is all female. Mm-hmm. And the graduate part, the graduate school is co-ed. Mm-hmm. And in the blurb, it mentions that I was a graduate of a woman's college. That blurb. So I think maybe, you know, it opened, you know, may have opened some doors. But mm-hmm. I think, you know, primarily I think we, as a person, I've just tried to always do the best that I could do mm-hmm. in every situation, every turn, every career, what mm-hmm. have you. And because there were some instances when I'm not sure if they even asked. I mean, they asked where you went to school, but I'm not sure if it meant anything to them at all. I think it did at Nakana, my first job there, when I got that job teaching. I think that, it was like, you went to UNCG? Hey, yeah, I'm sure you must be a good teacher. You're okay. So I think there was no questions asked. They felt that I was very competent. And because North Carolina knew about their young graduates. But once I left there, came to D.C. and applied for my teaching credential. I think I was just in the pool with everybody else. It made a difference where you went.
Well,
to
by
school.
That time, you'd already filled your resume out a little bit, so that helped.
Right. Yeah. But I think my first job, definitely, because I went for an interview with the principal, and he was on the phone immediately. Oh, I want you in this school. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, I want to hire you. And so, so there was no hesitation about his hiring me for that and everything. And but it was a good experience. It was a good, and I think just the fact that, you know, I have these lifelong friends, and we have the communality of UNCG talking about those days and the academics, and, you know, actually, I just think that I wouldn't trade it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have to trade. You know, I wouldn't trade. I can't think of any other university I would say, oh, I wish I had gone there.
So no regrets. I'm not going to historically black school at all.
Oh, not at all. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Mm-mm. No regrets at all. Because then I've heard some stories about historical black schools. You know, I mean, in terms of, I've heard people, you know, who said that times they've had, they were not good times. They were African American students, you know, at those schools. So I have absolutely no regrets. I mean, we didn't have the sororities, but I don't miss that. Mm-hmm. I don't belong to one now. It's just never been a part of me to say I need to join a sorority. You know, now they have, I think, the Deltas and the AKAs on campus, and I know a lot of black folk are really into their sororities and their fraternities, but this is something that has never really appealed to me that much. And I guess if my parents had been in sororities, and they were always invited to participate, my mother and my dad, he used to go to smokers, and they would say, Miss Galloway, won't you be? But they were more involved in the church work than and community than in sororities. So it was never really a part of my life. It was just never something that I gravitated toward. Even here at this church, a lot of they dress up on, you know, here, you know, the AKAs and the Deltas and what have you. And they're very happy. A lot of my friends are in sororities, but I don't miss it. And I really, you know, never something that thing that really gravitated.
What long-term impact do you think had on you by attending a women's college and graduating from UCG?
Again, as I said, I think the academics, I always think that I learned a lot at the school. Mm-hmm. Learned how to study eventually. how to really do that. How to get along with multiple people, of diverse people from various races and ethnicities, and being able to really look at people as people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like once you participate in multicultural activities, people are really people. You don't see races anymore. I mean, it happens, but I just think of people as people, and then the lifelong friends that I have, you know, that I met through the university there and everything, you know. So I just think that it was a good choice. It was the only school to which I applied, but I think it was
meant to be.
It was meant to be. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed my time there. I don't have any regrets.
And you never thought about transferring to Chapel Hill after 2 years?
No, I didn't because I graduated in 3 years, and that may have complicated my trajectory.
Right.
Yeah, so I never really thought about it because I did get those 12 hours that summer, and then that by the probably been my sophomore year, by the second semester I was already a junior then, so it's like, oh no, let me stay where I am and finish, stay on course so I can finish. So no, but then I still have so many friends from Chapel Hill that I met, the guys, of course, they're guys, and I'm still a part of their little thing because there weren't many black guys at Chapel Hill. I think my husband was out of class of five, four or five African Americans. And so he's a part of that Black Pioneer group at Chapel Hill. And we go down every November for that event. And when they take pictures there, we say, oh, come on, Poinsett, you're one of us. You know, you're one of us. You are here with us.
Do you mind a chance to know Karen Parker?
Oh, absolutely. Karen, my Christmas card from her this time has a picture of us together.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know Karen. Right. Yeah, because she's active in the black. She transferred over.
She did transfer,
And so she's active.
I think she's the first black female to graduate from Chapel Hill.
She and my husband in the same class. Class of 1965.
One of my colleagues just interviewed her. I think it was last fall sometime, and she actually came to the reunion over at the school last month and talked at the interactive session.
Oh, good. Karen did come.
She did come.
Uh-huh.
And Suzette Roney and her husband came.
Jackie Sparkman.
And Jackie Sparkman interviewed her the next day. So I met quite a few. And, of course, Joanne Smart-Drain was there again. Have you ever met Joanne Smart?
No, but the irony is that Joanne is a very good friend of my first supervisor in D.C. public schools. She's deceased now, Maureen Thomas. Because when I told her I went to college, she said, oh, you know Joanne Smart? Dream? She said, I'm a good friend of hers. She said she was among the first of Peterson. I said, no, I've never met her, but I feel like I've known her because Maureen would visit them. She lived in Raleigh, I think, at one time. Did she live in Raleigh?
She still does.
Maureen and her husband, Charles, would visit Joanne and her husband in Raleigh, and vice versa. But over the years, I've never met her. Just the fact mm-hmm. that Maureen Thomas always talked mm-hmm. about her mm-hmm. being such a good friend of hers.
Yeah. She's a wonderful person. She really mm-hmm. is. Yeah.
Yeah, being a good friend of hers. Yeah, well, yeah, Karen, I see each other every November.
Well, I don't have any more formal questions. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the interview that we haven't covered this afternoon? Because we've covered quite a bit of things.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, because I was looking at the information that you sent, and I think we've covered everything. I was just trying to... we mentioned the other Elliott Hall Ball and... No, I think we've covered just about everything that I would think of.
Okay, well, mm-hmm. thank you so much for the meeting this afternoon. It's been wonderful talking to you and meeting you. And
oh, absolutely.
That's just great.
Thank you. I just appreciate the opportunity to do it because I told Kel, I said, no, I got to do that. And I've been planning on doing it, but I'm just really glad that it's finally happened. Yeah, it's happening. You've just been a good advocate in saying, come on, let's get this done. Okay. You know, let's talk about this.
All right.
And everything.
Okay, thanks again.
Absolutely.